This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, we're back on The Usual Suspects. We got an hour to go in the big show, then a half hour of the Blitz, and then Aggies basketball here on a Tuesday on a holiday week in the big city as we continue to roll on. I was asking you guys if you saw this story during the break. It actually was on Good Morning America, but I was kind of disturbed by it. But at the same time, I guess, you know, more power to the guy for sticking up for what he believes, but... So there's an
like
off
not believing in robbery.
I mean, yeah. So off-duty military policeman was shopping with his family when two armed robbers came in to rob the store. And what ensues next, and I retweeted it so that you guys can see that. I also retweeted, by the way, the Macklemore painting of Justin Bieber in case you want to see that.
In case you guys are hungry.
Yeah, in case you want some pink flapjacks. But the disturbing thing is, so this guy is holding his infant son in one hand, pulls out his loaded pistol in the other, and starts firing off rounds trying to take out the two burglary suspects. And it goes on for like a period of time to where the wife is on her hands and knees with her arms outstretched going, give me the kid, give me the kid. He finally like kind of half throws the kid to the wife and keeps on shooting.
Gotta do what you gotta do.
Man.
Gunslinger, baby.
Put the kid down. He's not a shield.
You don't have time. Sometimes you just react. Heroes don't think. They just are. I don't know. It is kind of weird that you're shooting at robbers with a baby in your arm.
That's what I'm saying. Just looks crazy. The dude's got the kid like a football tucked under his arm.
But he's not holding him up. But, I mean, yeah, you would think he would have put him behind a register.
He's still in the line of sight where he could get hit.
Yeah, if they shoot back, yeah, he definitely could have got that kid shot. Not the smartest thing in the world.
No.
Pretty wild.
It was just crazy.
Barry, get Sister Schubert rolls. You can thank me later. I had to Google those, and there are these frozen rolls. I'm going to have to try those. Those look good.
Okay.
Yeah, they're just rolls, and they look like they're in like a Ziploc frozen bag. I may have to give that a shot. We'll see.
Okay.
Oh, they're like dinner rolls?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they look pretty good from the packaging.
Yeah, they don't look bad. Try duck breast butterflied with cream cheese jalapenos wrapped with bacon and then smoked on the barbecue pit. That sounds good.
God, it sounds nasty.
What? Do you like duck sausage?
No, thank you. You're just trying to
bait. I can't believe you fell for that.
You're trying to bait me into that.
I ain't fell for that. That was so easy. I didn't even do the joke, but somebody said I should. No, that's too easy. Make stuffing patties. Crisp both sides in a pan with butter. Pour gravy over the top and enjoy. So I guess you take stuffing.
Yeah.
Mash it down like a patty.
Right.
Butter in a pan. That sounds pretty good.
It does actually sound pretty good.
I don't know about the... Well, I guess gravy on there might be good.
I don't
good
think gravy too. Will hurt it.
No, that's the way you actually get more flavor to it, but it's also how you get rid of leftovers easier to make...
Stuffing the stuff patties?
Just add gravy to everything?
That sounds pretty... No, because the stuffing everything. Is there and it gets kind of...
It doesn't matter what it is.
Together
with ice cream, gravy on top. Everything. That sounds good, though. I may have to save that one there just to try later.
I'm with you on that.
I like
that. Actually sounded pretty good.
Yeah. That's a good one. Is there any chance the Astros sign Morrow and making a deal for Britain? Probably not both.
Right.
I don't think so.
I think they're both on their radar, but I think... Okay.
I think they're on the list.
Let me ask you this. What is the priority? Is the priority a closer? Or
yes.
Is the priority bullpen help?
I think it depends on who you talk to. I think inside that clubhouse, they probably just want some depth in the bullpen.
Sure.
But I think deep down, if they were being honest, and Ken Giles' feelings aside, they feel like they need a frontline closer that's dependable.
No, because if you look at which one of these things just doesn't
broken.
Belong.
He is broken.
He's been lidged.
Yeah, and he may be okay during the regular season. He may not. I don't know. I mean, he strikes me as the kind of guy I had a bad. I mean, you look at Josh Reddick. Is Josh Reddick broken or did he have a bad postseason? You know, Altuve wasn't great the previous postseason, but he balled his ass off this year. So it's one of those things. Do you think Giles is actually broken, or do you just think he's not a good closer, not consistent enough, too young? Maybe, you know, doesn't have the command that he needs with the way he can reach 100. You still need to be able to control it, or else it's no good. So maybe you just feel like there's a guy out there that's better. I feel like they've got to go out and get a front, just like we talked about last year. They needed an ace, a legit bona fide ace that you know is an ace, because you felt like Keuchel was. But you didn't know what Keuchel you were going to get, 15 or 16. Sure. You felt like McCullers could be, but could he stay healthy? When you added Verlander, you did what everyone was saying they needed to do, and I think you could do the same thing if you went out and got a closer.
Yeah, I think, you know, you've got a surplus of starters. I think that, you know, basically you enhance your bullpen to some degree if you just demote Ken Giles, if you're going to keep him around. Because
he becomes
contract.
A setup guy.
Yeah, and he becomes a setup guy. And I was going to say, it's like Dellin Betances, who was a good closer, but he became a setup guy when they got Aroldis Chapman.
Yep.
And so you can still find a way to get him to be someone that can be productive for you and see if he can work his things out, especially because you don't know what Gregerson's situation is going to end up being. But I think that, you know, everything, when you look at all the different teams that were in the playoffs last year, the thing that you now look back on to say which one of these things didn't the Astros have, it was that lights-out closer that you believe in, like they have with Chapman in New York, and like the Dodgers have with Kenley Jansen. And you know, almost every team has one, and it's time to stop experimenting and saying, hey, they can grow into the role. You need someone that's a legit lights-out closer. And then, you know, I think the bigger question for me is, would Morrow consider leaving the Dodgers?
I think
that would just come down to money.
Yeah. I'm with you. I think it definitely comes down to money.
And I just don't think with all the money that Crane has spent, I don't see him overspending. I see him wanting to use that $15 million from Beltran that he got back.
Oh, I mean, they'll spend some more money. I think they know where their weaknesses are, so I think that they'll spend some more money.
I just don't think they're going to give a Verlander-sized contract to anybody or a 20
no,
mil.
No, you've added that, so it definitely hinders what they would have spent in the offseason, but I'm all right with that, too. You know, if they want to go out and add a couple of arms to the bullpen and ride or die with Ken Giles, I mean, they did win a World Series without a legit closer at the end of that bullpen. I'm not saying that they could do it again, but as long as he's not broken, because once that happened to Lidge, he was never the same again. And maybe Giles has enough mental toughness to bounce back and be like, you know what? It was a bad postseason. Look what I did in the regular season.
You know, I admire the guy because when they asked him about it after the games, he would just say, I sucked.
Yep.
And I got to do better for my teammates. And I think his teammates will respect that. But does that mean that he has a closer role? I don't think so. But does that mean he could maintain a role on that team? Yes, I believe so. And I believe that they could put him somewhere as a setup guy or in the pen that could help them. But you know, regardless, I think that they need help in with some more arms in the bullpen.
They definitely do.
Yeah,
definitely.
And again, we've talked about do you need one lefty? You got guys that can get lefties out, but it's nice to have a situational lefty that can do some things because we know that Tony Sipp's not that guy, and Liriano's going to probably try and start somewhere else.
Yes, you need a lefty.
I would agree with that as well. So it'll be interesting to see how Jeff Luhnow and his crew prioritizes that and how they go about their business, because they're also talking about Jonathan Lucroy as a guy that could fill multiple roles. So
that one is still puzzling to me, unless they have plans to trade one of those guys, or, you know, what is their – maybe they're looking at the fact that Beltran won't be coming back, so now they can move somebody like McCann, or maybe Gattis becomes a full-time DH to replace, you know, and a very rarely used left fielder.
Yeah, I thought it was just
and one. Maybe McCann becomes your backup catcher and Lucroy becomes your everyday catcher.
I thought it was, you know, kind of a suspect move when it was just coming from one source, but I've heard it from multiple sources, and they're talking about the fact that he could split time between first base and being the backup catcher while Gattis would be your primary designated hitter.
I don't McCann as a first baseman?
No. Lucroy, who's played some first base. So you Lucroy becomes your second catcher and also a, you know, fill-in spot, whether it be DH or first base.
Maybe they're seeing – in previous years, I always felt like Lucroy was a really – well, he was a good hitting catcher.
Yeah.
Last year was not the case. He had a very down year compared to years past, and you wonder if maybe that means he's on the backside of his career.
It's possible, and also because he was splitting time, national, you know, moving around. He moved around from National League to the American League, and he was getting accustomed to the American League, got moved back to the National League. And that's unsettling to some degree. But you're right. Over the course of his career, he's proven to be a pretty good hitter and a better than average receiver as a catcher too. So,
are you willing to pay $13 million a year for Jonathan Lucroy? Because that's about what he's going to get on the market.
It depends are on you how willing to? Big my budget from my owner is to what other how much more money I can spend. Because that's why I bring in the Beltran money and the $15 million. Because I'm curious how much money is he going to spend because of the fact that you could make that move. But then you still got to address the bullpen.
Do you think he could give you the kind of year that Reddick gave you? Because you paid $13 million a year for Reddick, a top 10 free agent.
Reddick was the best home hitting player in the American League last year, hitting well above 300. Do I think that Lucroy could do the same and put up those kind of numbers? I think that's asking a lot.
He's also a couple of years younger than Lucroy.
Yeah, see, that's why
And he plays a position, you know what I mean?
I don't think he can do that.
You have two catchers
on this
team already.
But, Barry, I can answer that. I can flip that on you and say—
I know people don't like when I say catchers.
Fair enough. But I could flip that on you and say, I understand what he gave to the clubhouse, but you gave Beltran $15 million for a year, and he hit .230.
Yep. But you paid him for one reason and one reason only. You paid him for two reasons.
I don't think you paid him for one reason. It turned out that way.
You paid him for two reasons because you had a switch hitter that could come off the bench, play a little bit of outfield if you needed him to. He was your DH. You thought maybe you could get .250 out of him for the year and 20 home runs. Just proved to not be the case. I mean, he was a shell of his former self. But what you really paid Carlos Beltran for was to be a leader in the clubhouse. That's what you paid for. And you know what? I tend to say it was worth every penny.
The way it turned out, it was worth it. You didn't expect he was going to hit .230 and be way below average.
But
talk about a guy that fell off in a heartbeat.
He earned every penny from what he did for this team from a leadership perspective. I really believe that.
That's a pretty high penny. But I'm just saying, I don't take away what his value was.
Who won the World Series?
I don't take away that value. And obviously, like I said, it all's well that ends well. But at the same time, in retrospect, I don't think anybody was giving him $15 million to be a leader. Alone.
If I told you, you got to pay Carlos Beltran $15 million, but you'll win a World Series.
Sure, that's
you do
an
it
easy
in a
way
heartbeat.
To sum it up,
but
I'm telling
you
right now, they didn't sign him for $15 million to be a leader. They expected him to hit 20-some bombs and do a lot of different things like you mentioned.
It's a puzzle. You can't just discount one piece or say that one piece, if you take that out, it's not a complete puzzle. You paid Josh Reddick. You paid Morton. You paid Beltran. You paid McCann. And all of that combined, the leadership, the free agents, and everything else, is what made them a World Series team. You take Beltran out of that mix, and you don't know that they win the World Series.
But you
do they get through the
struggle?
When they were
struggling,
when they were struggling, when they were down in the dumps, when they weren't hitting, when they were in the funk, when it looked like they were, they come back down on the road down twice in two different series. That's when veteran leaders earn their money.
I understand that he was valuable. And when you listen to all of them say what Reddick and McCann and Beltran brought to the table, I totally understand
that.
I'm not trying to discount that, but I'm also trying to say, look, from the standpoint of $15 million for that is a pretty high price to pay.
Think about the investment that you just made in him teaching Altuve and Correa how to be leaders going forward so you don't have to do that again. Now, they watched Carlos Beltran, they learned from him, and now they're able to do what you paid him to do last year, and you don't have to pay extra for it. Whatever you pay them is what you pay them, but now they know how to lead because they were able to watch him do it. That's valuable. Because let's be real, if you talk to guys that left this Astros team in years past, they'll tell you the one thing that was lacking on this team, it wasn't talent, it was leadership. Guys like Altuve weren't really being leaders. They didn't know how to be.
I'm not disputing any of that. I'm just saying they brought him over because they were expecting he had more than a little left in the tank.
I agree.
Not .230 and no power numbers and he couldn't play the outfield anymore. They were expecting that they were going to get one more year like he gave to the Rangers.
I do agree, but it doesn't mean he wasn't worth the money.
No, I'm not saying he wasn't valuable.
That's the point I'm making.
That's $15 million. That's a lot of money.
I'll tell you what's valuable for your money. Cowboys and Indians Texan Kitchen, because the food is delicious. And I'm excited because next Monday Night Football, I'm going to be out there at Cowboys and Indians watching the game, hanging out, chilling with the listeners. So I'm hoping you guys will come out and join me for the watch party. Let's have some fun. Let's eat it up. Let's eat the best butter chicken in Houston. All right. And if you don't like butter chicken, that's fine. Do yourself a favor. Get the chicken fried steak made fresh, locally sourced meat. You're going to love it. All the food is delicious. Quesadilla is made with naan bread. That's Joel's favorite. Nick really likes the wings and the sliders. All the food is outstanding. Everyone that's gone out there has sent me a message and said, dude, I thought you overhyped it. You didn't overhype it. It's really that good. And I think you'll find it to be the same as well. 1901 Taft over there in Midtown is where they're located. 1901 Taft. Get out there for lunch. They have a lunch special right now. If you go in and tell them you're an ESPN 97.5 listener, between 11 a.m. and 3 p.m., you get a half-pound burger with fries for $8.99. Can't beat that. And while you're there, you can enjoy their full-service bar. So if you want to watch the game, you want to have a few drinks, you can do that. But here's the cool thing. If you're in the area and you want to have Cowboys and Indians Texan Kitchen, but you don't want to get out of the house, you can have it delivered via DoorDash, Uber Eats, or Grubhub. So there's no reason for you not to give it a try. I think you're going to love the food. Haas and the crew out there do a great job. All the Indian food is authentic family recipes. And like I said, the fusion favorites that they have, top-notch, some of the best in the city. The best-kept secret that I'm trying to get the word out about. 1901 Taft in Midtown is Cowboys and Indians Texan Kitchen. You can get more info on Facebook. Just look up CNI713. Whatever you do, take your taste buds on a delicious journey around the world. It's Cowboys and Indians Texan Kitchen. There's nothing like it.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, back knee-deep in the final hour of the big show, The Usual Suspects right here on ESPN 97.5. We're mixing a little baseball talk. We've talked basketball. We've talked football. We've talked about a lot of things. We've talked about Barry selling me out once again on Eat Streets. And, of course, your favorite Thanksgiving food. And I'm still debating that bacon apple pie thing.
I'm with you. I'm 50-50. I love bacon. And
bacon's awesome.
I'm like, on apple pie.
I love me some apple pie.
Really?
A la mode. Oh, baby.
I could do without it. I'm not a cherry pie. I like cheesecake, plain cheesecake with whipped cream, strawberry, stuff like that. I don't like
cheesecake
pumpkin
is my
cheesecake.
Number one of all desserts. And that stuff they brought in from Saltgrass yesterday, that city block sized piece of cheesecake was pretty intense.
You ate it?
I'm watching what I eat too and working out, and I'm like, boy, that looked good.
I don't know. I'm just an ice cream and cookies kind of guy.
If you roll out
ice cream and cookies, I'm sold. Cake is pretty damn delicious. Yep. I don't know that cheesecake would be my all time favorite, but I will say, my wife makes sopapilla cheesecake, and
that sounds good too.
That ish is so good. It is like. I would do filthy things for that stuff. It's really good. OU Mike wants to know if we'll be drinking Dickens cider.
Yep, totally. We'll be drinking Dickens cider on Thanksgiving.
You will be.
That's my plan.
Good
that's what
for
I was
you.
Planning on for weeks.
You make
OU
a big
Mike.
Bowl of it and yeah. just all over, huh?
Can't keep my mind off of it. OU Mike,
mashed potatoes.
Yeah.
Nick.
Yeah. After you just get some truffle butter mash.
Only after
cider,
the truffle butter. Yeah.
Some cider by the Dickens Company, huh? Okay, Screwston would be proud.
That's what I was just going to say. Isn't Screwston. It Screwston that always throws the cider jokes?
Yeah, but it wasn't him today. It was OU Mike.
It was OU Mike. Yeah. All right. Well, congratulations.
Way to steal his bit, OU Mike, you jerk. Stealing people's jokes. God.
He's just slow-mo.
Anyone that steals other people's stuff, tune in at 4 o'clock. Anyone that's just...
Why do I see OU Mike slow-moing Baker Mayfield grabbing his junk on the sidelines?
Right, I bet he.
That's like OU I bet, porn.
I bet OU might. Yeah, I bet he was just like, yeah, do it.
Rewind
again.
Play.
Do
it again, rewind
bake.
Play.
Pause.
Fake me, bake me. Ooh, do it again, bake. Do it again. By the way, did you see this? Now we mentioned on the show, and we figured it out after ESPN put more information out there that it was the Veterans Committee that had released their list for the Baseball Hall of Fame, and now a day after the Hall of Fame released the candidates that are now available for the 2018 ballot, including 33 total players, Hall of Famer Joe Morgan and one-time Astro has sent a letter to all voters that says that there should be no PEDs in the Hall of Fame, and he has identified three criteria that he thinks should disqualify anybody from being a future candidate for admission into the Hall of Fame. Okay?
This is Joe Morgan?
Joe Morgan. The Joe
Cranky
Morgan.
Cranky-ass Joe Morgan.
Yeah, and boy, I'll tell you what. From people that I talk to across the game...
Not a nice man.
They he's got a very small circle, and if you can get in that circle, he's a good dude. But
oh, really?
That, but other than that,
he's an a-hole.
Tragedy.
Okay, that's what I've heard.
So here's his criteria: players who failed a drug test, players admitted using steroids at any time, or players that were identified as users in MLB's investigation as in the Mitchell report should disqualify them from any consideration in the future or at any time for the Hall of Fame. So, of the players on the current ballot, four
I'm trying to decide if I'm all right with that, because I'm actually not totally opposed to it.
Here's my thing.
But the problem is what is it again? What was the first two? So I know the Mitchell report.
So the Mitchell report, if you failed a drug test or you admitted at any point using steroids.
I'm kind of okay with this.
Barry Bonds, Roger Clemens, Gary Sheffield appeared in the Mitchell report, which would disqualify them. Manny Ramirez, a 12-time All-Star and member of Baseball's 500 Club, failed two drug tests in a span of 3 years.
Stop right there. Is there any doubt in your mind? Now, this is a personal thing, not a blanket statement, but is there any doubt in your mind that those names that you just read, Bonds, Clemens,
Sheffield
and Ramirez, any doubt that they used performance-enhancing drugs?
And Sammy Sosa.
Any doubt?
I would say no doubt all of them did.
Okay. And you can throw McGuire in there.
But here's my thing with McGuire, okay? And here's where I'm going to go with
Andro.
Andro at the time was not banned. I mean, when he did interviews, you could see the Andro container in his locker. So it wasn't a banned substance at the time. So was it illegal?
You think he was just doing Andro?
No, I don't know that.
But I'm just saying, if you're doing Andro, you're probably either experimenting with other things or...
He might have just had acne, Barry.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, that's it. He just, I mean, look at his rookie card and then look at him when he's at the Cardinals. It's like, I mean, I hate to say it.
Well...
I don't want to tarnish anybody's legacy, but look at Bagwell. Rookie year versus Bagwell MVP year.
There's no more prime example than Sammy Sosa, who came in as 185-pound center fielder, and he's right there with him. But I'm just saying, Sosa
Bonds was
came
a five-tool guy, stealing bases, running down, shagging balls
Barry
in the
Bonds
outfield.
Would have been in the Hall of Fame without ever touching a steroid.
Because he would have gone down more as a – he would have been –
he'd been Ken Griffey Jr. esque.
Yes, that's a great example. He wasn't gonna break any home run records. He would have hit a bunch. He would have been a 40-40 guy in most
titles,
years maybe.
Gold gloves,
definitely a
30-30
guy.
Yep.
Maybe 40-40 on occasion because he could steal 40 bags and he could find his way into 40 home runs. But yeah, it's – I don't have a problem with it now. I mean, I would be okay with that. I think that's a relatively sane way to go about weeding those folks out.
And A-Rod doesn't get in then.
Nope.
A-Rod was another guy that would, if he never touched the stuff, probably would have made it in just on his merits as an infielder.
What about would you start revoking all the, like it feels
that'd
like
be a hell of a lot of reverse tickets.
Yeah.
That would be tough to do.
Okay.
All right, just throwing it out there. I thought that was pretty adamant. He said Morgan actually went to so far as to say whenever they get together for the Hall of Fame induction ceremonies, they've all gotten together, started speaking, and they couldn't bite their tongues anymore. It had to be said, and they wanted something to be done. So he took the bull by the horns. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out as the ballots are out and the voters will start to vote, getting ready for the next Hall of Fame class. Right now, I want to tell you about my good friends at Infuse Energy. I'm telling you because I believe in them. I am a client of theirs, and they have reduced my energy bills monthly by exorbitant amounts of money. Hundreds of dollars a month I'm saving on my energy bills because of Infuse Energy. I could not be happier. I never had a doubt, but when I signed up and I saw my bills, I couldn't believe it. Josh Pesikoff and his staff do a fantastic job. They are locally owned and operated here in the Houston area, and he makes sure right from the get-go that you're dealing with human beings that are concerned and cared about your energy usage, when you use, when you don't, and what best plan fits your needs, instead of automated systems that can be frustrating and keep you on hold and in tricky situations on the phone for half hour at a time. This is human beings answering the phone and immediately identifying when you use energy, when you don't, what you need it, when you need it most, and what rates you're looking for, and then they try and get you the best plan. They're 100% honest, and even if that means losing your business to cheaper competition, they're going to be a trusted friend to you, and they're going to give you nothing but honesty and communication as they try and give you the best plan they possibly can. It's 100% green energy at your fingertips. You sign up, you choose a green plan, it offsets your electricity use with renewable energy credits, and that helps decrease your carbon footprint, and I'm telling you right now, they are affordable, hassle-free, never trying to pull the wool over your eyes. They're just a company that has your back, and they want to provide energy for your home and your business, and they want you to be a long and trusted customer because you believe in them like they believe in you. If you want to check them out, call 844-INFUSE2. That's 844-463-8732, or check out infuseenergy.com. Right off the top, you mentioned ESPN 97.5. You get a $25 bill credit, and then, like I said, someone that's going to be on their staff is going to talk to you and talk you through what the best plan for you is, what the best rates are, and they're going to listen to your needs and make sure that they tailor make a program that fits your energy platform. It's fantastic. It's Infuse Energy, infuseenergy.com, or 844-INFUSE2, Infuse Energy into your life.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back on The Usual Suspects with a half hour to go in the big show. We had talked to you guys yesterday about the Baker Mayfield situation. We were kidding around a little while ago with OU Mike about it, but
I wasn't kidding.
I probably wasn't either. Some people go to Pornhub like, and OU Mike just slow-mos Baker Mayfield grabbing his crotch.
I know he masturbates to Baker Mayfield just, you know, throwing passes. I know he does. Has to.
Amongst other things.
Okay.
But we heard that he was suspended for senior day. He's not going to be a captain. He's not going to start the game.
He's not suspended.
Well,
he's going to play.
He
just won't start the game.
He won't start the game. Yeah. I don't know how long he's going to sit out. You know, Lamont asked me the question yesterday, did I think that if this was a playoff game that he would get suspended? No. I don't think so.
Yeah, it's against Virginia, or was it West Virginia?
West Virginia.
West Virginia.
I think he would still not start, but it would just be the first play or the first series.
That's what I'm saying, but I don't think they'd ever suspend him for a game.
No.
especially would have had a lot riding on the line. We heard some of the regret after the game, but he had a press conference in which he got really emotional about the fact that it all started to sink in for him on what the punishment was going to be. Sounded a little something
like that. Playing at OU is something I always dreamed of. Not starting's, you know, it is what it is, but not being a team captain is something so much more.
Oh, you Mike right now.
Now, I didn't watch that, all right? I didn't see it. I just, listening to the audio, if I'm a listener,
it's hard to feel sorry for him, honestly. It's not like he didn't seem like he was faking it. I'll say that.
Okay, because that's what I was going to say. If I'm a listener driving around right now doing Christmas shopping and going out and getting a, you know, tub of truffle butter, it sounded fake.
Oh, it did?
Yeah.
Really?
It sounded like it was fake. It didn't sound like he was genuinely upset.
There was that long pause, maybe. Was it the
if
long
you watch
pause?
The entire thing. He's that subdued throughout the entire press conference.
Okay, I'm just telling you from
no, but
that's
I'm
the only that is the only thing I've heard, seen, or anything else of that press conference. And to me, it sounds fake.
I'm gonna tell you this:
playing at OU is something I always dreamed of.
is it the sniffle?
Playing OU Mike right now is paralyzed.
Playing at OU is something I've always dreamed of. And
pause.
Oh, I wasn't supposed to read that.
Not starting's, you know, it is what it is, but not being a team captain is something so much more.
It was three different sniffles.
Yeah,
but the first
there was
thing
a lot
that
of
I,
sniffling
The first
going.
Thing that I thought when I heard it was, if you thought it was tough and you were apologetic for what your actions before,
then maybe don't
this
cross
press conference right now is going to give so much ammunition to every team you play going forward. You better damn well be able to pad the brakes and not go off again, because they are coming at you with all the tears and all the everything they can bring at you, and they're going to talk smack to you. You better be ready for it.
Wait, what? Well, he was the guy that was sitting there talking mess earlier in the season. You can't be crying
That's
after that when you're talking trash.
That's
like
I'm saying,
you can't be sitting there like
you try to be all
that
tough,
emotional,
and then all of a sudden you get to be crying like a baby, and guys aren't going to forget that either. They're going to bring it back at you even harder.
Yeah, I'm with you on that.
It's one thing to say, hey, I got caught up in the moment and, you know, I screwed up. I'm not buying his emotion. I'm not buying his sadness and his emotion. If anything, I think he's pissed.
You know what he's doing? He's protecting the Heisman Trophy.
That's exactly what he's doing. I don't know. I don't believe it. I don't believe it. I'm not buying it. I think it was, you know, faked. I think, is he upset because he's not starting? Maybe. Is he sad because he's not a captain? Probably. But is he that upset that he's crying about it?
I think the captain part,
no.
I mean, forgive me. I mean, you're not a captain for one day, I'm assuming, not the remainder of the season.
No, but it is senior day. It's his last home game. You want to.
What does that mean? You know when he'll forget that? When he's making millions of dollars in the NFL. Yeah. That'll mean nothing to him.
Who cares if it's senior day? That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, I don't know. But the thing is, I've never been a college football player, so I wouldn't know.
It does mean something because from a sentimental standpoint, and not everybody's in the position Baker Mayfield's in where they're going to not play on the next level. But to say this is my last game, my last chance to be introduced running out of the tunnel, my last chance to be in front of the home crowd, it does mean something.
I guess.
I totally thought he was, first of all, I thought two things. One, he's going to catch a load of crap from every team he plays going forward about trying to be tough and then being all crying like that.
So you don't think it was fake?
I think he was protecting the Heisman.
I'm asking you, do you think it was fake?
I think it was, I'm looking for the right term.
Embellished.
I think that it was
over the top.
It was thought out, planned, probably a little bit.
So premeditated.
Premeditated
crying.
Is exactly what I was looking for.
Okay.
I think there was some premeditated.
So then you think it's fake?
Yeah, to some degree.
But the thing is, you got to be really good at faking tears.
Because I think if you look at the press conference, either he's a hell of an actor or you could feel it was emotional. But the tears and the sniffling might have been too much.
I can't fake tears, though. That's hard.
Oh, I can.
I can.
You can fake tears?
Yeah, there's
every time I have sex,
about.
I cry. Just kidding. That's
really good acting. If he can fake cry, that's impressive.
I mean, people do it all the time.
Yeah. Actors do, like millionaire actors.
Well, maybe
and
he
actresses.
Took drama in high school.
All you got to do is talk to millionaire actors that do interviews all the time and say, how do you get in your mind frame to
think
cry
about something sad?
Role.
Think about
they
something
think about
depressing?
Losing your parents or losing someone, a loved one, or some
I guess
kind
I can
of tragedy.
See that, actually. But I mean, still, I mean, that's on the spot. You know you're going to go to the podium at a certain time. You're going to have to address the media. You know what the question, which questions are coming. And he still pulled that off. Like, that's some incredible acting.
We should have a contest to see who can fake cry
I bet
first.
You guys would totally win because mine would sound so fake.
You already
fake.
Know you cry on everything.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I would probably win. I think I could fake cry first before
you
guys.
Do it tomorrow.
I don't know. It would probably take me more than, a couple of minutes. But I think I could make myself cry.
Oh, you need like a few minutes to kind of build yourself
you can
into
make
that depressing.
Water you over truffle butter. You can make your eyes cry just about at anything.
I wish we had the gong.
I don't care. That's never stopped me before. Why did that stop me now?
My favorite is you go, I don't care. Yeah. I love that. That's great. I don't know. I just don't believe him. Sorry, OU fan. Not buying it.
Yeah, but he's going to take a world of ribbon from every team he plays the rest of the year. So he better be able to have some self-control that he didn't have when he played Kansas.
Lamonto
I will
Baker
say his
Mayfield. Coach was emotional too. So
it yeah, wasn't just Lincoln him. Riley cried too, right?
Did you hear about the?
If you
listen to the whole press conference, then he talks about how Lincoln Riley's like a dad to him. He didn't have a dad there in Oklahoma.
They're all
and
like
dads to him.
I mean, come on. Like they always say that. They always say that when about players. I mean,
guys, you don't understand.
Daddy had the cash in the shoebox, too.
Ooh.
When Baker needed a little extra jing, I go right to Daddy's box.
Lamont said Baker Mayfield's going to moon K-State. Probably.
If you can grab your junk at Kansas, you might as well give him the other side at Kansas State, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Take your pick.
This wasn't the emotional Lincoln Riley, but this is what he had to say about the situation at the podium.
I know that it's going to run its course. That's just the way that the news cycle works this day and age. People are going to make a big deal about something when it happens, and then it'll run its course. It's not going to define him.
I love that. What a great way to dismiss it. People are going to make a big deal out of his poor sportsmanship and crotch-chopping a crowd and telling them, bleep you, to a whole crowd. Yeah, that's going to happen. You can't do that nowadays. Whether you think it's a big deal or not, you can't do it. Just don't do it.
I think people will forget about it.
If you do it, who cares then? If you're gonna whatever consequences that it entails, at least own it. But yeah, I did it. I crotch chopped them. I went to shake their hands and they didn't want to. They deserved a crotch chop. Bleep them.
Yeah.
Like own it that way at least. Well, you know what I'm
saying? I think the funnier thing to me is you go back to Chris Paul when he was at Wake Forest. You go to Baker Mayfield's situation. Do these guys not think that there's like 18 cameras in the building that are going to get anything and everything that they do and that you're not going to have to pay the consequences for it?
I would have much rather Baker Mayfield come out and said, I did it. And I was, because I was pissed, because they disrespected me when I was trying to be a good sportsman and shake their hand at midfield. They disrespected me. I was embarrassed and I was angry.
I actually respect that.
And we were losing. Bleep them. I did it. That's my bad. You know what? I messed up. I did it, but I'm not sorry for it because I was angry.
The only reason why, though, is because he's got PR from the college level putting pressure on him.
Well, because they're worried about the Heisman Trophy. They're worried about an image that they're trying to keep squeaky clean so that he doesn't run into any resistance trying to win this award.
Now, that is the best argument for it. But still, if you're not getting...
This is Barry, this is what I was going to say, because we got to get to break, and we're going to get on the flip side. But this is what I was going to say. To your point, I would have rather him come out, and when he was asked about it, and they said, did you do it? Baker, seriously, did you own up to it? Did you do all the things that the cameras supposedly caught on the air? And I would have just been happy if Baker said this. And just walked off the podium.
That would have been great. That would have been the best press conference ever.
I would have given him a golf clap right there and said, press on, young man.
Should
press
have done
on.
That. Yeah.
That's what I would have liked to have seen.
No doubt.
All right, we're going to continue to move forward. We've got about one segment left to go in this show. Then we are also going to take over for a half hour of the Blitz because it's going to be a short
That's
show.
Oklahoma State,
are we
going to
call
right?
it the zone blitz or maybe
Kendall
the safety
Smith
blitz?
Can't play.
What?
Who?
Yeah, who is that guy?
Oh, yeah.
Are we going to do a, calling it the blitz? Because it's 30 minutes. So is it the zone blitz, safety blitz?
I like safety blitz.
Okay.
Yeah. We can go safety like blitz. Yeah. All right. So the safety blitz will be on at 4 and then Aggies basketball at 4:30. Don't go anywhere. We are ESPN 97.5.
This is ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, final segment of The Usual Suspects on a Tuesday of Thanksgiving week, as we are also going to do a half hour of the Blitz before we turn it over to Aggie Basketball. An extended duty for us is Fred, AJ,
duty.
Jong.
You said duty. Grow up, Barry. Jacob said, you think Baker Mayfield's trying to turn off Cleveland so they won't draft him?
I wouldn't blame him for that.
I certainly would not. I'd be doing everything I could.
If that's his approach, by all means.
I would be paying people like line sitters, but I would be paying them to go spread rumors about me in Cleveland's ear. That Baker Mayfield, he's a bad guy. You don't want to draft him. You should let him fall. You should let him fall to the Niners.
Because unlike last year, where everybody was questioning how it wasn't a very deep quarterback draft and, you know, how many of the guys could actually be starting quarterbacks, and obviously the Bears thought so much of Mitchell Trubisky that they traded way up. But you look at this year's quarterback class, and this is a stout quarterback class, but
it's
they
better,
say
yeah.
that because of Rosen and Darnold alone, that Baker Mayfield, who is undersized and more Drew Brees-ish, is a question mark in the NFL because, look, he's got the intangibles. They like all of the stuff that he brings. He's a winner. But does he have the size and the ability to perform at the next level because he is kind of short? And they compare him a lot to Drew Brees. And, you know, Russell Wilson had that not coming out, but Russell Wilson also has great athleticism and, you know, super fast. And we saw what he could do last night. Interesting to see if Baker Mayfield's talents translate to the NFL.
I think they will. Right now, I think he's probably the number one pick, right?
No.
You don't?
No. They think that Josh Rosen and Sam Darnold are both top five picks, but they don't have Baker Mayfield in the top five at all.
I mean,
I don't know if there have any mock drafts out yet,
well,
but everything
in terms
that
of
I've
heard of.
Why do you think those guys are...
Oh, they, from a scout's perspective, Barry, they love them.
No.
Oh, my God.
Not since the season
yes,
started.
It doesn't matter. If you look at what the projections are with Kuiper and everybody right, else, Josh Rosen and
yeah,
Sam
they're pretty
Darnold
high on
are
Darnold.
Still top five picks.
Even with the dip in performance with Sam Darnold, they're pretty high on him.
That strikes me as odd. There's no way that I would have those guys as bad as they've looked this year.
I'm just telling you.
No way.
I am just telling you.
Yeah, all right. So here's a what is this? Oh, Bleacher Report. I put no stock in their mock
no,
draft.
No, you can't.
Who is it? You know what? Here, Pro Football Focus. Well, there's Walter's mock draft. That's actually a pretty good one, too. Lamar Jackson number one? All right, that's a dumb draft.
Yeah, you can't believe it.
All right, so Pro Football Focus, their 2018 NFL mock draft number one released October 31st. Number one, Baker Mayfield. Number two, Derwin James from Florida State. Number three, Saquon Barkley. Number four, Sam Darnold. Number five, Lamar Jackson. Number six, Josh Rosen.
There's no way.
I'm just reading you from Pro Football Focus what their draft
was. Okay, that's one mock draft.
Right.
But I'm telling you, when you look at all of them combined, I don't think Lamar Jackson is going to be a top five pick at all. I don't think anybody thinks that.
What is this? Oh, Ian Rappaport? So Ian Rappaport is reporting that the Raiders have... No, is the Ian Rappaport... per Mike Silver and me, it says, the Raiders have fired defensive coordinator Ken Norton.
Mm. Ken Norton Jr.
Yeah, Ken Norton Jr. Big change. Raiders ain't happy, and they shouldn't be. There were a lot of expectations for this team.
We talked about that.
Thank you, Kirsten.
Yeah, we talked
about
that.
Coming in here breaking news.
He came in, or they came into this season as being the sleeper for the Super Bowl.
Yeah, well, a moderate AFC favorite. Maybe not. I guess, I don't know about sleeper. I think there was high expectations for this team, and certainly giving up 247 points so far this year, not something that was expected. But I also think that they were expecting them to score a lot more. That's pretty interesting.
You don't anticipate that a guy like Carr is going to go down, but you also can't plan for the fact that, boy, their receivers have been just horse bleep.
Yeah,
they can't catch a cold. They're terrible.
I would agree.
And Marshawn Lynch only had one game.
Here's Kuiper's mock draft. What is this? This is Albert Beers. Yeah, he has Sam Darnold number one, Saquon Barkley, Josh Rosen, Bradley Chubb, Minka Fitzpatrick, and that's your top five.
Yep.
So, see, I guess everybody's different. I don't know. I mean, just from what I've seen and read and everything else and watched some of these games, I don't know if I trust those L.A. QBs, USC and UCLA. Both of those cats, they haven't played that well.
Well, I'll tell you what, you even listen to Salisbury.
Outside of Rosen's first game against the Aggies.
He's saying the best fundamentally sound quarterback in the draft is actually Rosen.
Okay.
Not even his guy because he went to USC.
Yeah, Darnold.
But Darnold, and they're talking about from a mechanics and from the build and the height and everything like that, that, you know, those two guys are going to be cream of the crop on the next level. That's what the guys that are breaking it down are looking at.
But what do you think? I mean, have you watched all these guys at least play a game?
Top 10 pick. I think Lamar Jackson could be a guy that could be a very, very good football player, regardless of what position he plays in the NFL. I just don't know that he's going to be a top five, top 10 pick. I'm looking at Todd McShay's mock draft right now. He's got the Browns taking Darnold. He's got the Niners taking Josh Allen, a quarterback out of Wyoming. He's got the Jets at number three taking Rosen out of UCLA. Then the Browns take a defensive lineman from Clemson, Christian Wilkinson. I'm looking to see Baker Mayfield on this list, and he doesn't have Baker Mayfield going in the first round.
Okay.
And I think the height is the biggest concern with playing on the next level in terms of scouts.
Well, here's one that has Mayfield first too. And I'm not even trying to find it. I don't know who the hell this is either though. If you watch Baker Mayfield, he can sling it. Here's the problem, though, that he's going to face, okay? The defense in the Big 12 is garbage, and it's going to make him look a lot better than he might be. But I still think the Pac-12 is a similar situation. The competition in the Pac-12 is okay.
Crap. It's crap this year.
It's okay really at best.
Yeah.
So with Darnold and Rosen, the expectations of those guys were so high that I don't think that they're living up to it. But I think Baker Mayfield is playing his ass off.
Well, we've seen plenty of guys that played their ass off on the college level and then just couldn't cut it in the NFL.
Right, but those guys usually have good years before
they're
drafted.
Taking a body
Darnold
of work.
And Rosen aren't even playing that well.
They're
this
taking
year.
A body of work from those guys. They're not going to just say the one season based on talent around them and what they've got from a coaching staff perspective and what system they're in. They're just talking about what the scouts are looking for. The guys that are going to have the talent that translates to the next level, and you know their biggest concern with Baker Mayfield is I think his height and being able to see the whole field and do the things he's been doing in college.
All right. Somebody here, let me get a couple texts in before we move on. Somebody said called in and won wrestling, and that was their word, not mine.
Yeah.
tickets yesterday on your show. Just want to say thanks to my – I took my son and we had a great time.
Good deal.
Rest in peace, Game Day. More like Weak Side Blitz. That's Amazon B's brother. He thinks we should call the show Weak Side Blitz.
It's funny.
We're sticking with safety blitz. Baker Mayfield's new name, Baby Mayfield. That was from the Mad Llama. I like safety blitz and helmet to helmet in the ear hold and shake your junk at him. Now, that's a great show name. What? That's all you, Mike. This makes no sense.
Once he got shaking the junk in there, he had stuff he can material he can use later on this evening.
Yeah. Somebody did want to know, does anyone ever check Mel Kiper's accuracy on a mock draft? Great point. And then this one before we go. Awesome. We get some usual suspects overtime. Damn right.
You call it the overtime. Forget the blitz.
There you go.
All right. We appreciate you guys being with us. We're going to be here tomorrow, too, and then we're going to be off Thursday and Friday for the holiday. So make sure you tune in. Same channel, same time, 1 to 4 p.m. It's the usual suspects right here on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.